Please pray with me in these words from this week's diocesan email. We express our deep sadness and outrage over the horrific mass shooting in Christchurch, New Zealand. Our prayers go out to the victims and those who grieve. We stand in solidarity with our Muslim sisters and brothers and reject all violence, especially that which targets people for their religious beliefs. Lord, have mercy. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I had a sermon all wrapped up by Tuesday. I was amused and intrigued by Jesus playing with these ideas of the fox and the hen. But by Friday, I was less amused. There was another mass shooting in the midst of another congregation gathered for prayer. This was in New Zealand, in a city called Christchurch, at the Al Noor Mosque and the Linwood Mosque. Our gospel reading today has something to say about violence. Here again, Jesus lament and the fundamental conflict within it. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. And you were not willing. The tension in this lament is more obvious in Greek than it is in English. How I have desired, and you are not willing. Both use the exact same word. It's a word for the will. What's going on here is a contest of wills. On the one hand, Jesus' will to gather up the residents of Jerusalem like chicks under his wing. And on the other hand, the people's unwillingness to be so gathered. What is it, I wonder, that prevents us from gathering with one another, with all of God's people? Even in our own families, what bitternesses and grudges, what offenses and old hurts continue to have life and divisive power? And in our parish, how does mistrust or contempt or prejudice poison our hearts and influence how we live together? And if these powers, these evils, exist in the relationships that are closest at hand, right among the people who are most precious to us, what about the relationships we have with the wider world? What about relationships with Christians from other churches or from other denominations? What about relationships with children of Abraham who practice other faiths or no faith at all? What about practitioners of completely different religions, eaters of completely different foods, speakers of completely different languages? The BBC news story that I read about the shooting in New Zealand explained that the gunman, quote, had espoused racist, anti-immigrant views. I feel like I encounter lots of racist, anti-immigrant views these days. Here in South Jersey, across the United States, throughout the Western Hemisphere. But here's a hint. Racist, anti-immigrant views aren't going to get you very far in the kingdom of God. Jesus was born with brown skin, a Palestinian refugee, fleeing into Africa to escape violence perpetrated by his own country's rulers. If you can believe it, Jesus didn't even speak English. Contempt, prejudice and othering only extend violence And they only confirm our own self-imposed status as aliens and wannabe immigrants who have not yet entered the kingdom of God. A world without gun violence, without mass shootings, without terrorism, does not begin with laws or the criminal justice system or wars waged in foreign countries. Laws can probably help. I'm less confident about the death penalty or drone strikes. A world where all people live in safety and peace is not a world without religion. I want to be perfectly clear here that Muslims, Jews, Sikhs, Hindus, Buddhists, practitioners of whatever religion, they aren't the problem. Agnostics and atheists and the undecided, they're not the problem. The problem is hatred, contempt, disdain for the other. And there is exactly one place where you and I get to work on that problem. The end of violence and the beginning of peace begins in a single place, your own heart. Jesus wants to gather all of us up under his wing, but he says, we were not willing. We were too alienated from one another. We were not ready to be in communion with those people over there. We were not ready to share the same close, intimate, underwing space with someone that we identified as other, different from us. Maybe they wanted to go and we wanted to go to the same place, but we want to ride in our own car, carefully preserving our illusions of difference and autonomy. And so, by standing apart from other people, we continue to stand apart from Jesus. By standing apart from other people, we are part of the problem, not part of the solution. But that is not the faith that we practice, is it? That standing apart from other people. That is not the calling of our Lord. That is not the text of our baptismal covenant, in which we promise to respect the dignity of every human being. The beginning of our creed declares we believe in one God. One God, creator and lover of every human being. The Lord's Prayer begins, our Father, not my God, our Father. We're together in this with every other person who is created by that same God. And did you hear the line from our Eucharistic prayer in the Gospel reading today? Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, right? Did you hear it? Who is it that comes in the name of the Lord? Well, certainly it's Jesus. Does God perhaps send anybody else to us as well? Are there people of different faiths, different ethnic backgrounds, different upbringings, different opinions, different political parties, different experiences of sexuality and gender? Are there people who can give us a wider, more ample understanding of who God is and how God has chosen to be known in the world? We are invited to recognize God approaching us in every other as we kneel together to share one bread and one cup. It is that diversity of experience that helps me to know God better, and it reassures me that I too am a part of that diverse congregation of ones whom God loves. That's how I know that there's room for me, with all of my flaws and faults and mistakes, there's room for me too at that altar rail. That is good news. The things that we do as a church are a curriculum, teaching us and forming us and shaping us and equipping us for life in the kingdom of God. The things we do are preparing our hearts to live in the presence of God. And for a Christian, this is how we bring peace to the world. The end of violence and the beginning of peace begins in a single place. Your own heart. The events this week in Christchurch were horrific. And the invitation is for us to identify with our fellow children of Abraham, to stand in solidarity with them, knowing that God longs to gather all of us under God's wing like baby chicks. Lent is a time for penitence. It is a time to confess the contempt and division that we find in our own hearts. When we fail to see any person, as less than flesh of our own flesh, members of our own family, we are failing to see with kingdom of God eyes. And Lent is the perfect time to acknowledge our shortcomings, to pray for God's forgiveness, and to ask God to give us new eyes and a new understanding. World peace begins in your heart. As Christians, we believe it is in God's kingdom, that condition where God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven, we believe it is in God's kingdom that we will finally experience peace on a cosmic, universal scale. The more thoroughly you are transformed today by God's Holy Spirit, the more powerfully you will impact those around you today. And thereby, you will be extending the reign of God's peace in the world today. That is how God is changing the world, even now. And that is precisely our calling and our vocation as Christians. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.